So we just have a talk about current coronavirus situation. So we'll go around to community councillors first, and then we'll pick up from other people. You want to kick off, Jane?
I don't have a lot to say about it, really. It seems to be all working out fine.
Val?
No, nothing.
Lorraine?
Nothing much either, I don't think. Schools are back, nurseries are back. Well, summer schools are back. We're back open again and up and running, and parents are delighted to have their children back back in again. So, and all our families that we deal with are all happy, and families are fine and managing well. Kids are managing well. So all seems to be good.
And is just younger age groups are back at the moment, and then
all nurseries and primary 1, 2, and 3s, and then some secondary 5s and 6 for exam and practical experiences at the moment. But I think it's the 15th start going back. So primary 4 to 7.
Okay. So, yeah. Elaine?
Same, really. Just looking forward to getting back to work, and I think we've done really well here.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Norma, you got anything on COVID?
No, I'm just happy, and it's great the updates you put all the time as well, so it keeps us all well informed, so I'm happy with that.
So there's been nothing in Aberfeldy
on
the website for a couple of weeks now. There's a few in Pitlochry. But that seems to be falling away again.
Yeah.
Perth and Kinross as a whole looks pretty good at the moment.
Apart from the city. Today from the neighbourhood data, which is the 26th of February, there was only one case in the whole of Perth and Kinross outside the city. The city had more than 10, so city's still got a few problems.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Right, we'll bring the two councillors in. Xander, you want to go first?
Happy to. So we can provide you with an update on the vaccination programme, which members of the Community Council will be aware that Pitlochry Athleisure Centre is one of the 3 community vaccination centres in Perth and Kinross. But it isn't just serving, obviously, Pitlochry. Some of you I think I've even had your vaccinations there, because it covers Aberfeldy, Rannoch, Dunkeld and surrounding areas. So currently it's been running on occasional days where there's been supply and demand for it, but people are likely to see a significant ramping up over the next few weeks, particularly towards the end of March, as vaccine supplies increase across the country. This was all planned and expected. There has also been an element of holding back enough supply to do second doses of Pfizer, because obviously the first people to receive vaccinations are about to become eligible for their second doses. So there has been enough supply held back for that. So that's maybe why people have seen a slight reduction. However, you will start to see the wider age groups being contacted over the coming weeks, inviting them for their vaccination. The council is supporting this effort significantly. So this may have impact on certain services. So people are asked to be, considering that in terms of if things are delayed on a council front, it's likely because nearly 500 shifts are being provided by the council in support of the vaccination effort for the community vaccination sites. We are hoping that we will be able to engage volunteers to support some of this effort, because that will obviously take some pressure off the council. But in the immediate, getting the centres open a month earlier than planned, we just had to use council staff to begin with. So, that's the positive news. The positive news is that 41% of Tayside have received the first vaccination. It's 141,000 people. And that's the equivalent of 11% of those vaccinated in Scotland, but Tayside only represents 8.5% of the population of Scotland. So we are well ahead of national average for vaccinations. So from that point of view, Perth and Kinross is doing very well and Tayside is doing well. You will have seen that Perth and Kinross has frozen the council tax in reflection of the COVID situation. We appreciate people are struggling to pay their rent and pay council tax and other key utilities. So we are trying to do our bit to support that. And I'm sure we can touch on some of that later on. But in terms of the council update, the council is still continuing to do a significant amount on COVID, particularly in support of the vaccination rollout, which is really a cross-service rollout, obviously being led by the NHS, but being supported by the council and other frontline services. John was in the meeting that he and I were both in the leaders' meeting on Monday, so he might be able to pick up anything I've missed off there.
Yeah. Xander, I'm happy to help with the volunteering when I'm on community. I did go over to the Blue Gowrie because our team's over there as well. So I'm happy to help if when I'm on shift, there's only certain days I can do it. Like, but quite happy to help the volunteer there.
That's great. We can John and I can reflect that back. Yeah. Thank you.
Fire away, John.
Thanks, Victor. To be honest with you, I think Xander's pretty much covered all the key points that I would have raised, to be honest with you. So I don't think I've got anything further to add at this moment.
Okay, well, let's just see. Have you got anything to add, Alistair?
Yeah, just with regards to the Pitlochry Vaccination Centre, where are people being drawn to go to that? Is the vaccination program in Aberfeldy, you may go to the surgery or you may be asked to go across to Pitlochry? Because I was concerned about the travel of people whilst we're told not to make unnecessary journeys, and whilst getting our vaccine is necessary, and I support that, I was just a bit concerned about the locus that people, where are people travelling to get to the centre, and are people travelling from Pitlochry from Aberfeldy to get to that centre?
Yeah,
well, they are, because I did.
So did I.
May I speculate that, because I had the call came from NHS Tayside in Dundee, and the guy was quite surprised when he found I was in Aberfeldy that I wasn't going to the health centre. I was being directed to Pitlochry. And I suspect that was because I was being categorised as at risk rather than by age bracket, because I'm diabetic. So I may have been pulled off a list of people who should be first within my age group and therefore sent to Pitlochry rather than the health centre. That's how I read it. But
I was vulnerable and I was at the surgery. Mm. I didn't have to go to Pitlochry.
Yeah, but Scott went to Aberfeldy because he's at a Shielding, on the Shielding list. But I was asked when they phoned me, was I able to travel to Pitlochry? Mm-hmm. And because if you aren't able, they can arrange it at the surgery, but we just said, yeah, it's fine, I'll go to Pitlochry. Have to say now, very well organised.
It was impressive.
Right. Oh, it's very.
Just let Zan.
I got a text message to say to go to surgery.
No, we because it's the age group and I'm diabetic as well. I was asked, did I want to go to Pitlochry? Where was I quite happy to go to Pitlochry?
Well, Feldy were doing the vulnerable thing, so I'm now vulnerable, which is crap. But
maybe my guess could be wrong. I was just speculating.
I don't know. It could be.
So just to remind people, there's quite a few people here disclosing their conditions, and we're recording this.
That's not a
problem.
No, not mine.
Right, Xander.
The more people who know I'm diabetic and can talk to me about it, the better. I'd rather people knew.
Right, Xander, come in.
Okay, thanks. It was being done entirely based on working down the priority groups. So if you were in one particular priority group, basically the over 80s were being done in the doctor's surgery, and people at the highest risk, etc., were being, you know, basically it was entirely based on age groups. And then when they opened up the community vaccination centres, they were taking a different age group there, preferably. And basically we are, I mean, in terms of Alistair's point, people are being asked to attend community vaccination centres that are obviously not in their locale, immediate locale in some cases. So people are being asked to travel into Perth from places like Kinross and Auchtre Arder. There's a combination of there is only so many vaccinators, there is only so many places we can store a vaccine, there are only so many places that we can get a critical mass of staff. So all doctor surgeries are doing it, but where the community, there's only three community vaccination centres in Perth and Kinross, one in Perth, one in Blairgowrie, and one in Pitlochry. And that's the current position, and there's not an intention to open any more at the moment, just because of a shortage of resources, really, to mainly in terms of the vaccine itself, because none of these sites are operating at full capacity. So yes, people are being asked to travel for it. It is considered essential travel, and if they can't travel, arrangements are made to try and accommodate it. So in some cases, there have been house visits for those who are housebound. My gran, who's in her 90s, got hers at home, and they are, you know, they are going to incredible lengths to ensure that everyone who wants a vaccine can receive one. However, if you are able to travel, then we would ask that you go to the centre that you're being invited to, because it does put additional pressure on maybe doctor surgeries where they can't. That doesn't mean that other people will not in the future be called forward for to go to the doctor's surgery. They're basically dividing up. So X number of people are being asked to go to doctor surgeries and X number are going to community vaccination centres.
Mm. Is that a question, Alistair?
Well, not entirely, because I'm concerned about people moving cross area. And whilst I appreciate that the purpose of the journey is essential, I'm not sure that, you know, people should be travelling a distance across the region to get there. But I appreciate the fact that the vaccination centres are there, and if that resource could have been put into the local doctor surgeries rather than the vaccination centre. We still need the same number of vaccinators wherever they are based, and it may be space or resource at the not resource, because the resource is there, it could be space to do it. But I know when I got my flu jab, it was like a rolling conveyor belt at the doctor's surgery, you know, to get that done. I've just got concern about the travel and the mixed message that might be given on that, and the actual availability of time. I mean, it kind of hit the headline that the vaccination centre opened and then within days had closed for the next week afterwards. And we were given the explanation from NHS Tayside that it was lack of vaccine, first of all. And then they came back to say, oh, well, it's actually the eligibility as well. So they kind of gave us a mixed message there. So I was just wondering if anyone has got an update on what the availability of vaccine is. And whilst I appreciate that people may now be coming in for their second dose of vaccine, is there enough vaccine and the logistics to distribute that within the Island Perthshire area?
So just to pick up, I mean, and Councillor Duff can jump in here as well, because he was, in, as I say, on the same call as I was and was on the health board meetings as well. In terms of the vaccine, we have, you know, as I outlined, we have vaccinated more per head of population than the Scottish average, and some of that is to do with eligibility. There is obviously more eligible people in Tayside for the vaccine than there is in some of the other health boards, because we have older populations. Highland Perthshire, this ward, has twice the national average of over 55s. So people here are much more likely to have received the vaccine than other parts of the country. So, you know, you can't necessarily compare every health board like for like, because the demographics are different, and the National Committee on deciding how people should, the age groups, etc., that should be vaccinated, maintain that basically after underlying conditions, age is still the main factor in terms of the seriousness of illness. So, you know, that's been quite clear. So there is, as you know, we're getting our fair share of vaccine supply, and, you know, quite frankly, you know, and it's getting through as fast as it can. In terms of GP surgeries across Perth and Kinross and Tayside, continue to vaccinate people, and the community vaccination centres are being used to support that effort. And this is no different to any other part of the country. So in, you know, Aberdeenshire, Highland, etc., the same process applies. A lot of people will have to travel exactly the same distance that they're currently having to travel to their job, their doctor's surgery. So people north of Pitlochry will have to travel into Pitlochry to go to the doctor's surgery anyway. So they're not being asked to necessarily do anything that would be further than they're currently being asked to do. And so from that point of view, and in terms of comparison with the flu vaccine, it's not directly comparable because we are vaccinating much larger numbers of people than we do with the flu vaccine. So actually, whilst there is a degree of comparison, it's a much larger number of people. We are trying to vaccinate the entire population. We're trying to do it at a pace that is much faster than we do with the flu vaccine. You know, we start vaccinating for flu in early autumn and it goes on for, you know, X number of months, and it's a one jab situation. This is two jabs. We're trying to do the entire population. It's not as easily comparable. Whilst there is things that you can say, you know, are comparable parts of it, this is not. Indeed, just on the flu vaccine point, we did vaccinate more people for flu this year, and a lot of the logistics for that have given us good practice for the COVID rollout.
And just add into that, you'll understand that the Pfizer-BioNTech one, which is what's being used in the vaccination centres, is the one that has to be stored at very, very low temperatures. Whereas the Oxford AstraZeneca one can be stored in a normal fridge. So the GP practices are set up obviously to be able to handle the AstraZeneca one, whereas the vaccination centres have specialist freezers that allow them to store it. I think it's at minus 70 degrees, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So hence the reason why there are, you know, more smaller number of vaccination centres. I also understand, I think the Pfizer labs had changed the way they produced the vaccine to try and increase the amount of vaccine in the long run. And I think that's led to a slight hiccup in the initial supplies. But I'm told that everything should be back to its normal kind of levels as of next week, and that, you know, it'll be full steam ahead again. So
just following from John's point there, in terms of as John said, this was planned. You know, there was a planned expected after the first priority groups in mid-February were vaccinated. We expected, we were told by the vaccination supply companies that there was going to be a dip in supply, and that was expected. That's been factored into the planning. But that's why we're now expecting, because they've been able to ramp up production, we're expecting to see that increase in production. And there is, again, more vaccines, not just in terms of the current approved ones, but actually over the weekend, many people will have seen that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was approved in the United States. The UK has ordered the same amount of Johnson & Johnson as it has of Pfizer. And obviously it's a one-shot one, so it will go twice as far. So, you know, there is, the UK has ordered more vaccine per capita than any country in the world. And if you look at our world data statistics, seven of the top 10 places in terms of most vaccinated in the world are UK or British Overseas Territories. So we've, you know, got by miles the most vaccine, and we're rolling this out, and we're leading in terms of major countries on the rollout. So if you compare the UK with the European average, for example, the UK was the other day sitting at about 30-ish on average, and the EU is sitting at about 7 on average. So we're outperforming our neighbours and leading on, in terms of mass vaccination. So, I think we can be really positive about the rollout in general, and the NHS has done an incredible job getting it out as quickly as it has.
I have heard in Aberfeldy, a few people, when they got phone calls to go for their vaccine, were refusing one vaccine, and they said that they wanted a specific one, and they're going to be, I think they're going to be allowed to do that. Which I thought was maybe a wee bit off. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously, we're encouraging people to take both the first vaccine and the first slot you're offered, basically.
That's what I thought too. But no, I know of a few people I've heard who've refused to go to the surgery because they want, because that's the Oxford one, and they want to go to Lockery to get the Pfizer one.
Well, I mean, I think that we have seen on the news that. The French president obviously was quite critical of the Oxford AstraZeneca one in the early stages. Real world statistics, however, from Scotland have proved that actually the Oxford AstraZeneca in real world situations has proved more effective at preventing the number of deaths and serious hospitalizations. So actually, and it's not by much, we're talking 95% for Oxford AstraZeneca versus 84% for Pfizer, but actually, a lot of this is quite early. These are also early data for everything at the moment. It's still quite a new situation, and it's constantly developing, but I think actually the vaccines are basically on par with each other. And I would encourage people to consider taking the first offer they're given. There are reasons people might not. There are certain reasons people can't take certain ones. So Pfizer is not advised for people who have anaphylactic reactions, for example. So there are certain conditions that will mean that people will get offered a different one. So it's not always the same thing. But I'm just none of this stuff is straightforward, really.
Yeah.
I'll go back to Alistair and Ramsay. Is there any other aspects of COVID?
Not for me. Just thank you for your very comprehensive answers on that. Thank you.
Nothing from you, Ramsay?
Yeah, just a second. What Alistair said there. Thanks, everyone, for a really thorough answer.
So we'll just go around a few. Katie, have you got any observations on the current situation? We need you to on mute, Katie.
Sorry. No, nothing particular from me. But thank you for asking.
Okay. Douglas?
Could I just ask Xander and John, what is the underutilization of Putlochry? We're not coming up to capacity, and if we're not doing that, how are we going to get the community involved in that? All I've seen are very much coming from government top down. Is there anything we can do locally to boost the service in any way?
I'm quite happy to answer that, or John, if you want to answer it.
I was just going to say, obviously, the NHS will have the lists of the various groups that they will invite forward. They will invite them as vaccine is available. And I think Xander did touch on the point that Alistair raised about a number of the Pfizer vaccines are being held for the second vaccines of those who have already had their first one. So whilst there are supplies of Pfizer, they're being kept, for second vaccinations. But so once the supplies are increased again, the numbers of people invited to attend will increase. And as Xander says, we have significant numbers of our staff who are working the various shifts to cover some of them were involved in the injections, but some of them are just involved in the kind of administration and directing people to the right places and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we are hoping to exchange some of our staff for volunteers as things go forward. The vaccinations are going to be here with us for many months yet before we get through the 10 million, I suppose, if time you do 5 million of a population twice, it's going to take a while. So we are looking at bringing in volunteers locally to help, you know, run the vaccination centres too. So I suppose it is just as Xander says, when you get called, go get your jab. And as I think other folk have said, it is a pretty slick operation. I think our own operations within Person Kinross, I think, have been running pretty well, to be honest with you, vaccine supplies aside.
The only thing I was concerned about is that this Pfizer has got a shelf life, hasn't it? You know, and if we're not optimizing that,
when you remove it from the freezer, yes.
I mean, I think just on the point of the you know, our main limiting factor at the moment has been vaccine supply. It is not a case of, you know, as soon as we get it, it is out there and it's getting put into people's arms. It's not. The lack of additional community vaccine sites is basically assessed on the volume that we're going to have of vaccine, and once we get those up to full capacity, there is an expectation that we will get rapidly through it, as we did when the vaccination sites were open at full capacity. They were going through it at quite a rate. You know, they do go through quite a lot of people very quickly. So it's mostly being limited by. Has been limited in the last couple of weeks by the amount of vaccine that's been available. But basically, as more and more vaccine becomes available, these sites will build up in terms of capacity. And we, as John says, we will be looking for people in the community to support that ramping up, because otherwise we are deploying huge numbers of council staff to do a lot of the management and administration control of the site, etc., which does take away from frontline services, to be honest. So the more that we can get support, and I think there's a lot of people out there who are very keen to do something, very keen to help support the effort. So we will be asking for that sort of help in the coming period.
If I may make a quick quick observation there, with my personal experience, I got the phone call only hours before I was due to go to Pitlochry. So I think they've got themselves set up, and it's a phone call, it's not a letter and all that sort of business. I think they've got themselves set up to be very nimble in the way they use the vaccine. So they've got the lists, they've got the phone numbers, and if they've got capacity, they will bring people in. So I don't think they're missing opportunities.
No, absolutely. I think the main thing is that we have much lower wastage levels than a lot of other countries. A lot of countries are seeing, if you look at the German statistics, for example, in some German states, they have 95% of the AstraZeneca vaccine that's been delivered to those states is unused. We do not have that situation at all. We are using every dose. People are being phoned. If people miss their appointments and there's still vaccine left at the end of the day, people are getting phoned at, you know, 10 to 5 at night saying, can you come down in 15, 20 minutes? And people are doing that. And people are very keen to get the vaccine. The UK, as I say, has had one of the best uptake rates in the world. So actually, you know, we are making sure that every dose is getting used as much as possible. There's very minimal wastage. So, and as John says, you know, the Pfizer, the shelf life only goes down as soon as you take it out of the freezer. So
I have got another point. Victor, is it okay just to come back in with something on the same subject? The councillor said that the vaccination centres were giving it the Pfizer vaccine. I've just got a message from someone who got a vaccine today at a Perth and Kinross vaccination centre, but was given the AstraZeneca vaccine. Is that true then, that it should only be Pfizer that's given out at the vaccination centres?
No, I think the vaccination centres will only the vaccination centres will issue the Pfizer one.
But it could be AstraZeneca. Sorry, well. Right, I've misunderstood.
You
that,
won't
right.
get Thank Pfizer you. In a GP surgery, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.